All right. I haven't met with you, the Working Saints, since last November at that retreat place down by Santa Cruz. And last month, when we had a meeting here, we decided to have a sister's time. And so we didn't meet last time. And so this is really the first time we're meeting this year with the Northern California Working Saints. So I'm happy with this re-engagement, and I feel we need to go on. We have that last year with a lot of these Lord's Day meetings and various retreats. I don't want to go back. I felt we have laid some foundation, we have built up something. And even down at the retreat last November, recall the burden was that it's time to form the army. Right? It's time to form the army. And particularly with this age bracket, and I still remember asking for different ages to stand up, those from 25 to 30, and those from 30 to 40, and those from 40 to 50. And I remember the largest group is the middle group, and then the second largest is lower group, 25 to 30, and the smallest one is 40 to 50. But that was not everybody there. At that time, the emphasis was still the young working saints. And I propose we scratch the word young, and from now on, it is just working saints. People who are from the ages of 25 to all the way to 50, roughly. This is not legal numbers, but just roughly in that age bracket of working saints. So so today I am going to continue, but my speaking to this group now, I'm very clear, would not be different from my speaking to the general saints, except with an expectation and a burden. That's why we have these meetings, that you all, the working saints, would, by the Lord's grace and mercy, put into practice these things that I'm going to talk about, to pioneer, to, I use the word, to trailblaze, to get into them, to practice them. You know, Paul, in his various epistles, pay a lot of attention on practice. On practice. Let me give you just two examples that just comes to my mind. One is in Philippians. You know, Philippians in chapter 4, you have Paul speaking in this way. He say that the things, verse 9, the things, Philippians, the things which you have also learned and received and heard and seen in me, four things, learned, received, heard, seen, practice these things, okay? You got to underline that word, practice these things, which means that learning is not enough. Just receiving or saying amen is not enough. Even hearing and seeing it in the apostle, the one who was giving the instructions and the one who's living these things out, is not adequate. You have to practice those very things. So I would say 2016 with the working saints, I like to begin to lead us to enter into a new practice of the church life. Now, these things that we're going to talk about, they're not new in the sense like, whoa, we just discovered them. No. Actually, nothing is new in the Bible. The New Testament is 2,000 years old. There's nothing new, 2,000 years old. However, because of the loss, the degradation, the missing of a lot of these things. And when I say these things, I don't mean just the truth, for sure the truth, but the practice of the truth is what I'm talking about, because of that loss, because of that deformed Christianity's wrong practices, below the standard practices, even I would say worldly and natural human conceived practices over many centuries. So today we must come back to the beginning to practice things according to the Bible. And so that's new. It's not that these practices were new, but we need to recover them. It's the recovery that makes it new. There's also another aspect, and the aspect is that these practices, although in principles, are the same. It's prescribed in the Word, but how they should be experienced, how they should be practiced, also would be different from age to age. So 22,000 years ago, we don't have the automobile, right? We have the horses, we have the mule carts. The purpose of transportation by wheels existed on these carriages and carts and so on. Today, that has not changed. That principle has not changed. We still use wheels, am I right? Even Tesla is on wheels. So that has not changed. But the way we move those wheels have changed a lot. You know, first came the steam engine, am I right? Then it came the internal combustion engine. Now it's the all-electric vehicles, not even just a hybrid, the all-electric vehicles, which is the rave, which is the future. And so it's still turning a few wheels. But the wheels are now different wheels. They are the technology that exists to create better wheels, and then, of course, the way to drive and move those wheels, and then, of course, the engine that makes those wheels turn. Everything is much, much more advanced today. So in that sense, we need a new practice. Not in the sense like this is not in the Bible. No. Is it in the sense of working out what is in the Bible in the 21st century? Amen. And that's why the burden falls on you. I like all of you working saints to have, just like you came to Silicon Valley to have startups, that you will have a certain spirit of innovation. Now, don't innovate something that is not in the Bible, okay? I will be the first one to shut you down. But I'm saying that according to the Word, according to the biblical principles, and according to what we are taught by this ministry, which I follow very, very strictly, you go and pioneer. You go and experience. You go and find ways to carry those principles out. And that's the kind of new that I'm referring to. I like to challenge you all. I like to challenge what is the number? We have on paper 800 or 900 of these working saints. Actually, I believe it's more than that. If you go 25 to 50 in the Bay Area, surely we have over 1,000. Maybe of the 2,500 saints who appear every Lord's Day in all the 36 churches up in Northern California, half of them would be this category. Half of you, 25 to 50. Or so, right? Half of you, that means 1,200 or so. And then we have, because most of the saints are working saints. How many that are 50 and above that are working? Well, there's a few, but it can't compare to this age bracket, okay?
We have 11, 14,
that is what? Under 50, okay. So I'm about right. You know, there's about close to half of the 2,500. So when you move, when you begin to practice these things, there's a huge impact on the whole body, on the churches, or in your local church. So I like to see that happening. Not that you are better than the other saints, or not that the older saints are not useful, not that the younger saints are not up to standard. No, no. But because, as we keep saying, that because of your age, because of your experience, because of your energy level, because of the education that you have, and because of the growth in life that you possess after some years in the church life, you are the waste. You are the core of this body in the church life. And if you don't move, it's very hard to move the whole body. When you move this 1,200 saints, wow, I tell you, this year, 2016, this army starts rising up and doing things. I tell you, the whole 2,500 will start moving. Okay? That's why you are so critical. And I don't say this to put you on a pedestal. I don't say this to elevate your self-esteem. I don't care for that kind of stuff. But I want you to have a very sober, extremely sober estimation of who you are as a group. You occupy that position. You occupy that very important layer, okay? Age bracket in your respective churches. And if you sit back, you just kind of hang in there, hanging on, you just kind of like spectate. You don't feel the kind of pressure, feel the kind of burden to be the front row, to become the starters. You know, in a basketball team, you got the starters, you got the bench guys. The starters are the most important, and I would say you are the starters on this team, and you have to play the most minutes in this in the game. If you don't do this, I won't blame the church. I will blame you. I will blame you for things not moving. That's how I see the importance of the working saints as a group. As a group. So I hope starting this year, starting today, I will be giving instructions, trainings. This is not just general commission I think that was last year. This year we're going on. I'm giving you instructions for you to practice these things. All right, so this is Paul saying, practice them. Paul is expecting practice. Paul is not expecting you go back and repeat what is said and give a conference. Paul doesn't care for that. Paul said, I gave the conference already. You go and work it out. You be my hands and feet. I'm the mouthpiece, meaning Paul, not me. We go to work it out. Brother Lee was, at best, a mouthpiece. He didn't have the energy. He was older. He didn't have a way to carry it out. I was young. So I said, I am the hands and feet. I'm going to work it out. I may not be able to do it as good as Brother Lee, but I will do my part. I want to challenge you, working saints, to pick up that burden and do it. And do it. You say, whoa, we'll be making mistakes. Everything depends on mistake. I said, there's only one person in the whole universe that does things right the first time, and his name is God. Apart from him, no one would do things right the first time. We all have to learn, okay? And you learn by doing. There's no better way to learn except by doing it. You're just thinking, figuring, imagining. You're not doing it, you will not learn. You're still in the theoretical stage. And we are not about theory here. We're about practicality. We're about outworking God's economy on the earth today. So work it out. Practice these things. I think the other thing on practice is in 1 Timothy And this is Paul's word not just to a church. It is Paul's word to a young co-worker of his. All right? Okay, here we go. In 1 Timothy 4, chapter 15, he spoke a lot about this, about that. Excuse me. Then he said, practice these things. Be in them, that your progress may be manifest to all. So Paul's concern with this young Timothy there in that he placed in Ephesus was that Timothy, practice what I told you. Practice what I taught you. What the church in Ephesus need is someone to do the things that I teach. And then he said, also not even just to teach these things, it says be in them, and the Greek meaning is be immersed in them. You know, to do any kind of, to practice anything successfully, you got to immerse yourself in it. You just don't do it a few minutes a week. You won't enter into a practice, because practice, by definition, means something habitual. It means something that has become a regular occurrence. It means something that is almost a culture. A culture. Just like today, we all come to sit in these chairs to meetings week after week. You have no qualms about that, because it has become your what? Your practice. It has become normal. It has become like breathing, right? Do you go pray, Lord, should I go to the meeting today? No, a normal brother, you won't do that. You just, when the time comes, you just show up here. Am I right? I hope that is the case. In fact, I hope your functioning in the meetings will be the same. It is a practice. It is like breathing. It's like eating. You just do it regularly all the time. Now, it says, be in them. The only way something that become habit to you is you've got to immerse. So I like to take this, starting in 2016, these things that we're going to talk about, you'll be immerse yourself in them. All right? Don't take it like just some notes on your pad. I want you to, you gotta go and do it. You gotta do it. And then next time when I come, I'll just say, what have you done, brother? Come on, tell me what you have done. I want case study. Don't say, oh, I was so impressed. I was so touched. Sit down. I know you're touched. I know you're impressed. That doesn't work out anything. I want to find out, what are you doing? You say, oh, my goodness, I'm checking out of this thing. Well, please do. All I spoke last year was to build up to a point for you to realize how big this thing is, what a critical time frame we're in, and how much the Lord needs you, the younger generation, a newer generation with less baggages and history, to work out something for the Lord's sake. That's your commission today. What is the master goal? What is the overarching goal here to do all these things we're talking about? The overarching goal is to what? Is to work out God's economy according to the scripture revealed way, or what we call God ordained way. To what? To build up the body of Christ by being perfected. By being perfected. Right? To carry out the salvation of believers, or the begetting of spiritual children, or the acquisition of materials, new materials for the body. And number two, by means of what? By means of feeding, cherishing, nourishing, rearing up, raising up these young believers or recovered believers, whatever, to become what? To become grown-ups those who would grow in the Lord, grow in life. And number three, by your continual teaching them and perfecting them the truth, the ways of God, how to serve in the church life in a long-term way in the context of groups, in the context of various meetings. And finally, by means of what? Speaking the Lord, prophesying God, Christ, in the meetings. Okay, even I'm talking these things now, there's a lot to them, but I'm just giving you the overarching goal here. And by means of all these things, what? We would accomplish the growth, the increase, the building up of the body of Christ in the local churches. Amen? Amen. And the result is that in the Bay Area or in the churches where you are, the church life will be renewed into a new kind of church life with new practices that carry these things out that I have just spoken. And more manifestly, there would be the outward, measurable, numeric increase in numbers in the churches. And even the growth and spread of more new churches and testimonies of Jesus all up and down Northern California. And we have initially a 10-year plan to do that. And this morning I mentioned that in San Jose. And that is what? That in, as far as the outward results goes, that in 10 years we will double our numbers. We will not have 2,500 on Lord's Day, every Lord's Day. We will have at least 5,000, if not more. And on our phone list, instead of right now 4,000, there should be 8,000 to 10,000 on the phone list by that time. Now, the Lord's Day number is always the smaller number. It should be 2,500 right now, let's say. In a healthy situation, there should be 30%, 40% more than that in our groups. And today, I'm not touching the groups. That's a huge, big subject. We'll get there probably some months from now. Today, I want to bring you into the first practice, the first practices. And I hope you would all get it and you would all give yourself to the Lord and consecrate yourself to practice these things. Be in them that your progress may be manifest to all. Paul was looking for outward results. That's Paul. He looked for outward manifested results because they don't lie. You can say all you want. If I don't see it, I put a question mark on it. Now there's the aspect of the invisible results. Your growth in life. I tell you, actually, even your growth in life have outward expression. You say, I'm very grown, brother. I really have been growing a lot. But I still smoke. I mean, you know, sorry. But I've grown a real lot, you know. You just don't know. But I'm still smoking. Oh, I have grown a lot in the Lord. I don't see any outward expression. You can tell me all the way you have grown, but today you're still smoking and drinking. I would say, no, brother. The words doesn't fit the picture, you know? You get my point? There needs to be a manifested expression of all the spiritual things that we experience and enjoy. Even Christ lived out. I'm living Christ. I'm really living Christ. Well, I don't see much Christ there. You can fool me. You cannot fool me, right? I'm living Christ. You're still dogs and cats with your wife and husband all day long. What kind of living Christ is that? So let's be practical. And Paul was looking for that. Now, not only individually, but collectively, I like to see the working saints really built up, not as something distinct out here in its own orbit, but very much part of the church life. Please never, never make working saints this kind of special elite group of people. Forget about it. We do the training this way. We have some special burden. That's fine. But in the church life, you are just a saint. You're no different. Don't make yourself different. But yet, in that daily church life, you play your role. You carry out these things with wisdom, with perseverance, with patience, with humility. I'm not here to stir up revolution, all right? That's not what we're doing. We must be very, very cognizant of the church life, all the saints, all the dear brothers and sisters. We don't go and upset them. We don't go and, like today, disrupt. You know, everything is disrupt. Please don't disrupt anything. When I say practice something new, I don't mean you go around disrupting things. But as you practice them in time, as the Lord bless, it will have a notable result. There will be something visible that the saints are encouraged by. And in time, there would be a gradual renewal and change, even in the way we practice the church life. Actually, I like to see today, everything will be different. Even the Lord's Day meeting will change. Amen. Your group meetings, many of which are really not real group meeting that we like to see, will change. Are you excited by this? Don't be old, brothers. Don't become prematurely old. All right. Now, that's a big job, and I want you to right now, even when you're sitting there, don't think Bay Area. It's too big, too big. Just think your locality. Just think your locality. Just see yourself in that locality. If you have that burden, it will really press you to pray and be most serious about what I'm talking here. All right. So today I want to, I have this little thing here because I want to firstly get you all into a proper mindset, a proper view of things, because everything depends on a view. Otherwise, we may use the same words. We all have different meanings, right? We all have to get on the same page. Since 1984 onwards, our brother, dear brother Lee, had gone back to Taiwan and then later on in the U.S. from the years of 84 to the time of his death, the year before his death in 1996, 12-year period of time, he devoted himself, besides the ministry of the Word, to restudy, to research how a proper church should serve and meet. How saints, how believers, members of the body, ought to conduct the church life. What is the way there? He went back to study. And the result of that study initially was called the New Way. And later on, it was called the God-ordained way. But more often, he used the word the Scripture-revealed way. Which means a lot of the practices that even that we have in the Lord's recovery are not scripturally revealed. Are not entirely God-ordained. There's still the residue, the influence, of Christianity. Even today, even now, there's still that vestige, and sometimes rather prominent, of old Christianity. We are still not meeting and serving all together according to what the Lord revealed in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament. The result is the body not being built after 20 centuries. not only worldly practices and paganistic practices. Forget about this evil stuff in the Catholic Church and even some of the Protestant churches. Forget about that. Even the without these idolatrous and evil things, there are a lot of practices that are inherited from the what? From human invention, from the natural mind. Gradually over time, the saints saw over the centuries what is in the Bible, and there was an endeavoring to get out of them, get out of those old practices. You know, before the Wesley brothers, you cannot meet outside of this the confines of four walls called the church. It's sacrilegious. It is condemned for Christians to meet outside of a building called the church. And they were the ones who took the lead to meet outside, on the streets, in the public square. That's one example. And for centuries, Christians all only knew to meet in a cathedral, am I right? In a building. Whereas in the Bible, there's no such thing in the New Testament. Find me a cathedral in the New Testament. Where did they meet? Where did they meet? Everywhere. And especially house to house. But actually everywhere. You know, Paul met with them on the beach. These elders from Ephesus on the beach. It's not even a home. Maybe there's a resort there or something. I don't know. A Mediterranean resort, you know. But they were meeting at the beach. What's wrong? What's wrong? Is there something wrong? No. I tell you, the Lord says after he resurrected, go tell my disciples, my brothers, meet me at the mountain. He had a plan to rendezvous with his disciples. Meet me at the mountain. Not in any even buildings. He met with them at the mountains. And when the Lord was conducting his earthly ministry, there were no meeting halls. There were some homes, but more often than not, they were meeting on the grass. Am I right? On the mountain, on the seashore, the Lord just sat in a boat and turned around, and they were standing on the sand, and the Lord just had with they and preached and talked and met. Anything wrong with that? While all these Jewish people, these Pharisees, were all congregated in the so-called synagogues in a religious way, the Lord is everywhere. I tell you, no, even as I speak, I think even you don't think this way. You think, this meeting hall. Oh, this meeting hall. Yeah, praise the Lord, we don't have crosses, we don't have steeples, but I tell you, in your concept, it's still a building. Now, it doesn't mean we don't need meeting halls, but do you get my point? I tell you, a lot of things we actually inherited still from old Christianity. Human concepts. You know, the steeple is like this because it's human concept that, whoa, those sweeping arches will just cause your soul to ascend, right? And those stained glasses are just, whoa, just brings a solemnness or fear or something like that, you know? Oh, now I'm in the house of God. I'm worshiping God when God is not even there. You know, God is down at the street corner with some praying there in the spirit. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus told the woman, it's not this mountain, it's not that mountain, it's not this building, that building. It is what? The Father is still seeking New Testament worshipers who worship him. Where's the address? Huh? The Spirit, and in reality. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, we're still, even in the recovery, very, very much permeated with the old thoughts. All right, that's good enough. Now, I would be just very, very simple, very simple. And what I'm sharing with you is not in a way of something legal, not in a way, no, it's not in that kind of way. But really, according to our brotherly study over the in those 12 years and his leading, gradually, from the pure word of God and based on our own experiences, something emerged to be more according to what? To what God wants in the way we conduct our church life, in the way we conduct our church life. And we share these things based on that. Okay? So, all right. I call this the, for lack of a better word, the structure of the church. Now, the church is a living organism. The church is not an organization. So this structure is an organic structure rather than an organizational one. Now, some people, because they're spiritual, they reject the thought of structure. They said, that's organized. We don't want anything organized. We want everything organic. Well, wait a minute, okay? Let's look at David here. Look at his body here, right? It's an organism, isn't it? Isn't his body an organism? It's not organized, right? Yes or no? Yeah, it's. Let me ask you. This organism, is it structured or not? I will tell you, this body is more structured than this building. Right? The fact that it is not organized doesn't mean there's no structure. I mean, the scientists, the doctors, you know, with these super powerful microscope or whatever they use, as they peer into the smallest parts, the minutest part of the human body, goodness, the beautiful structure, even of a single cell. It's amazing. It's structure. This human body is the most organized thing, but not by the human hand. You know what I mean? Like bolts, like an org chart. But yet God, the most organic being in the universe, the source of everything organic, created not a chaotic piece of organism. No organism is chaotic. They're all beautifully structured. Beautifully structured. I mean, sometimes I still want to get into study. I wish I'm a doctor. I tell you, everything of the human body you can transpose to your understanding of the body of Christ. You know, look at all the systems. You have a few systems. You got what? The cardiovascular system. It's a beautiful system. Am I right? With all the vessels, the heart, and all of this. You have what? You have the pulmonary, right? System. The breathing, the oxygen, the lungs. Am I right? And all these systems are all interrelated. You have the skeletal system. My, the skeletal structure is just beautiful. No man can create it. Today, everything is robotics, everything is AT. I tell you, that is like, forget about it. You know, robots. I don't care how talented and robots are, it's still a robot. Am I right? They're going to make robots man. I say, forget about it. you can do something better than God, then you're God. And you are not God. But look at this human body. Even just don't look at the human body. Just look at an ant. And study the ant and see that structure. Beautiful structure. What other systems you have? You have the nerve system. Nerves. I mean, command control. My goodness. The head. Through the nerves, right? It is the sensory system to feel the pain, the heat, and also to give commands. You know, messages and signals sent from the brain to tell you, even right now as I'm speaking, it's all directed by my brain. My hand is moving like this and that. There is a complex structural system of the nerves working. Am I right? Your whole skin, you know, just your skin is a system. You know, the skin technically is an organ. Do you know this? It's an organ. It's not just your liver or whatever. Your skin is your organ, is an organ. Beautifully structured. What else is there? Digestive system. I mean, just it's amazing. How can it go out there and come out the other? and go through this and this and that and this and that? My, that digestive system. I mean, all this are found in the body of Christ. Amen. The reality of the body of Christ have all these systems in place. Amen. Brothers, don't tell me there's no structure. It's a different kind of structure. It's organic. Amen. All right, so now the body of Christ, and then practically it is the church today, the church life we're in today, also has the structure. So when Brother Lee went back to Taiwan in 1984, 85, the first thing he touched was structure. I thought Brother Lee would go back in life and this. No, the first thing he touched was structure. The church in Taiwan was inhibited, impeded in its growth for decades because it has slid into a wrong structure, a wrong way of churching, of serving, of meeting. In fact, Brother Lee was so bold to use the word, I'm coming back to change the system. Now, system in that sense denotes structure. Something systemic means something structural. When we don't touch something structural, we are just more or less making cosmetic changes, you know, outward changes. When you touch the structure, then you're talking about some internal fundamental changes, and that's what Brother Lee did when he went back. You know, in those 12 years, through those 12 years, the whole of Lord's recovery made a great advance, structurally and in practice. We're still benefiting from that today. All right. So let's look at the structure of the body. Let's look at the structure of the church. Let me ask you, number one, I'm going to make this like two-way and discussion, okay? Town hall style, you know? Okay, let me ask you, what is the smallest structure in the body, in the church? The unit, maybe not structure, the smallest unit, the most basic unit. Huh? The cell. Let's say the cell. What is the cell? In practical terms, in the body life, in the church life. Come on. Huh? Well, did you hear it from me, or where did you hear it? Okay, all right. Obvious. It is obvious. It's you. Unless I can cut you in half, then there would be some smaller yet unit. None of us could be rent asunder in that way and still live. So the individual, the member of Christ's body, that person is the ultimate unit, smallest unit, in your, like the cell in your body. That's it. Your body and mine is an aggregate of millions and billions of cells. who are constantly regenerating itself. That means being renewed. And the growth of our weight, I mean, when I came out, I was 7-some pounds. Today I'm, you know, for years I'm a lot more. What happened? How did I add the weight? Did my hand pop out one morning? Or did I go from, you know, 11 inches to 5 feet in a few weeks? No. I tell you, it was over time by the growth of the cells, by the what? Multiplication of the cells, by the increase of the cells, they become organs, and then I become bigger, I gain more weight, and all of this. But it, at the cellular level. Okay, so the first thing in this structure of the church life is you. That's it. That's the ultimate. You couldn't go any smaller. So the most important, listen, the most important thing in the practice of the church life is the individual. Saint. That is, if you are not living, if you are not normal, if you are not vital, if you're not active, if you're not a living cell, forget about it. We can all go home. You know, this morning I spoke about the branches in the vine from John 15, that we all branch in the vine, you know? So I was looking at it again and again, and I realized that when I think about branches in the vine, I always think about a ton of branches like all of us here. But the Lord, listen to me. In verse 1, the Lord say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch, not the branches. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. In verse 5, he talked about you are the branches, plural. But in verse 6, if one, brothers and sisters, that means you or me. If one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up. And is dried up. Okay? Now, I say this to impress upon you. Yes, we're going to talk about twos and threes. We're going to eventually talk about groups. Those are all the structural components, very, very important ones. But I want to start here with one. That's you. That's me. One day, the Lord is going to come as the judge to take account of our life and work in this age, to determine whether we will receive a reward or we will be punished. You know about that. It's called the kingdom. He made it very clear and it's consistent. That is a personal accounting. You cannot say, well, Lord, David was with me. Blame him, you know. He's my partner, you know, blame him. The Lord says, forget. David will take his turn, wait there. You first. Give me an account. You, the single believer. This is the master here, the judge here. I'm going to take an account. How you live, how you work. Don't blame anyone. Don't depend on anyone. You have to give an account to me. And you will receive a reward from me as an individual. There's no share crowns. That's a very sobering thought. Brothers and sisters, I would like to start here. That is to say, if we all mean business to build up the body of Christ as a perfected, normal functioning member, we have to start with ourselves. Forget about everything else, you. And this is why. It's every branch. Each branch has to live a normal life of abiding. Otherwise, the rest is just talk. If you are not normal, functioning, and living in your daily life with a proper walk with the Lord, there's no way our meetings can be rich. Am I right? Am I right? You just pile a bunch of dead people here, it's even will be deader than just one corpse. There's a pile of corpses here now. So my point here is we've got to start with ourselves, if we mean business, with all this I'm talking about. Working saints, each one of you, man and woman, brother and sister, you must have a life with the Lord. You must have a personal, intimate, hidden, spiritual life with the Lord. Otherwise, everything is just a facade. You must be revived every morning. That is not some local church thing, morning revival, so-called. No, it is a necessary practice to maintain a daily contact with the Lord, to receive the divine supply. Those minutes in the morning is not optional. You cannot say David is having morning revival on my behalf. David, please contact the Lord for me. I have no time. The Lord will say, what? David, contact me on your behalf? Where are you? Well, I'm busy. I have no time. I give him to be, make him my proxy, you know. My proxy. To love you. I don't have time to love you, Lord. But David, would you love the Lord for me? Isn't that stupid? That's crazy. Brothers, go back to this. Go back to this. Each one of you must build up this personal life with the Lord. Then we talk about building and this, that, and the other. I start here. I'm starting at the most basic level because I'm concerned that even at this basic level, we're not that normal. And talk about helping other people. The first thing we have to help new ones and others is to bring them to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord, to touch your spirit, to know the Lord in your spirit, to call on the name of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
To have conversations with the Lord. To enjoy the Lord in a personal way, as in Song of Songs, with that woman. How about in the Lord's Word? How about your time in the Lord's Word? Do you have a time in the Lord's Word personally? Do you read His Word? That's where it starts. Then, do you have personal dealings with the Lord? Do you have personal transactions with Him in a hidden way that no one knows? Even your spouse does not know, but you have regular dealings with the Lord. You know, this word says, if any every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. That pruning is the dealings. In my experience, I have no way to be living, be normal, be active, be vital without much regular dealings with the Lord, where he speaks to me, where he touches me, where he breaks me, where he transforms me. Brothers, how about, and sisters, how about that life? That member life, that cell life with the Lord. How about your personal prayers with the Lord? Do you pray? Do you touch the Lord in prayer? How about your daily walk? Nobody sees you, but the Lord is there. He's speaking to you. Do you turn to the Spirit? Do you walk by the Spirit? Do you set your mind on the Spirit? Or do you just live the way you want? Brother Lee said at the end, revive every morning and overcome every day. That is a personal life. No one can be revived on your behalf, and no one can overcome on your behalf. You have to do it. Now, talk about practice, brothers. I know these are all common things we talk about. Nothing I'm talking about is new. But I'm concerned how prevailing that is, how robust that personal life is. I'm concerned about that. Because when you do this, you'll be vital. And may I say something here? Don't harbor any kind of Pentecostal superstitious and miraculous concept about the Christian life. Christian life is about normality, regularity, just like your physical life. You eat when you eat, you sleep when you sleep, you exercise when you exercise, then you are normal. You know, the brothers say, oh, Minoru, these days you're very energetic. You know, I've been here 4 days, and I've been going nonstop. And this afternoon, the brothers say, William say, come to my house, we'll eat, and you can sleep for an hour. And we end up fellowship the whole time. And I'm coming here, and I'll speak for 2 hours, then I have to go hop on a plane to go home. And the same thing the last few days. Yeah, I'm quite energetic. But it is not miracle energy. I didn't eat some pill or drink some Red Bull. I don't know what Red Bull tastes like. You say, where does the energy come from? Well, it's the Lord's grace and mercy. I say that. But it is, to some degree, I take care of myself. I eat rightly as much as I can. I get the proper rest. I got the proper exercise. I keep my mind healthy, you know what I mean? I don't think crazy things. And mental health is very important. And the physical health affects the mental health and vice versa. And I also keep, with all of this, keep up a spiritual health. Contact the Lord. And you think I just come here and stand up and speak, and all these things come out? You think it's like that? You really think that way? You don't think I study these things? I just pop a pill and I'm full of inspiration. Oh, you really think that? You're crazy. No, everything is a result of something. Brothers, the Lord is not requiring us to be Tarzan, to be Superman, to be Batman. The Lord wants all of us to be normal, regular, living members that maintain a daily life in him. Do that. We all expect miracles. Please, I ask you to get rid of your miracle-seeking mind and rather rely on just just this repeated, healthy walk with the Lord, that we all know what to do, but we just don't do it enough. Amen?
Amen.
And on top of that, you have to maintain a proper life of coming to the meetings, you know? No one can come to the meeting for you, that's for sure. You maintain a proper church life. Then your marriage life and your work life, all those have to be maintained without any craziness. You know, actually, the less exotic our life is, the better. Exotic, you know what I mean? The more simple our life is, better. Today, people in the Silicon Valley are chasing exotic existence. They don't sleep, just Mountain Dew, right? That is unsustainable. They want to get, you know, make the first $1 billion by age, whatever. That is unsustainable. Forget that. That's not even healthy to think like that. Just be normal. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm just a normal person. The Lord had mercy on me, saved me. I'm in the church. I just live a normal life for His purpose. Everything simple, not so complicated. Right? Sisters, don't get into manipulating others. That will be detrimental to your health. You know, don't get nosy on others' business. That is detrimental to your health. Just be simple. You'll live longer. A lot longer. All right. I'm telling you to follow, keep the law. Not the Old Testament law, but the law of principles that exists in the old creation and also in the new creation. Get up when you should. Go to bed when you should. And contact the Lord when you should. Read the Bible when you should. Come to the meeting when you should. You maintain this, then you are a living, healthy cell. Then we can talk about a lot of other things. How about you do this? Amen? I know many of you do already, but I'm speaking to a lot of people who may not be doing these things. Okay, so that's number one. Now, I'm ready to come to the next level. These healthy cells, these living, buzzing, happy cells, right? By the way, one of the very important things for mental health is to be happy. Are you happy? Many times I come to meetings, I look at the saints, I say, what is this place? This is a mortuary or something? Or everyone put on some kind of meeting game face or something? No one smiles. In the church, this is lovely place. What is that song? I'm so happy. I don't see at all anybody happy. They're waiting for the meeting to be over and go home and be happy there, you know. Oh, let's turn on. Well, the NCAA, the basketball saints, something is wrong. I tell you, joy is the medicine of our soul. And the Bible teaches us to rejoice. And we don't. We don't keep that commandment. We practice gloom and doom. And that has become a bad culture in the church life. Non-smile faces is a bad habit. Then you say, you know, I'll just do this, right? That's fake. And you know, and we can all see that's fake. That doesn't work. But the Lord is the source of our joy. Am I right? Dear saints, well, this is good enough. We should, all these working saints should be a happy bunch of people. They are just living, they are just bubbling, they're just breathing, they are praising the Lord. I don't mean you have no problems. We all have problems. That's just life, you know? Chalk it up as life. But we are special people. We have the life of Christ. There's a man in the glory. Am I right?
Yeah.
Joyful and radiant. It's just a song. Are you really like that? I don't see it. Okay, two saints, this is the Christian life. You have got to start there. Then you're vital. Now you're talking of, you're a vital little, happy little vital cell. Then we can talk about working out the God-ordained way. Otherwise, it's a bunch of morose, you know, corpses here, you know. We cannot do anything. Okay. Now I come to the next thing. So that first thing is already a practice. So next time when I come, I'm going to ask, brother, how was your personal life with the Lord, your cell life with the Lord, these last 4 weeks? Any improvement? Yeah? If not, why? There's no reason why there shouldn't be improvement. Uh-huh. That's the training, right? That's the training. I'm training you to be happy. You know, to be happy requires perfecting, you know. Okay. Now the second level of structure is what? Huh? It's the joining together of a few cells. No cell can exist by itself. Do you see a cell floating? No. All the cells are just, they're en masse. They're together. Here's a very, very important principle. And that is what? That is in the physical body, in the body of Christ, indeed in God's economy, it is a corporate thing. It starts with one cell, but that cell needs the other cells. So the corporate life is the immediate next level. Now here we get into a little bit of a complication because it is not so simple, right? I like to now promote a practice. And I'm going to talk about it for the next period of time. Are you okay? Can I continue until 5:30?
Yes.
All right. No break.
No problem.
No problem. Okay. I'd like to promote this practice of twos and threes. I want to strongly promote this practice for this year. Twos and threes. I like twos and threes. The coming together, the joining of two and three cells or members or saints to be a culture among us. Something not to be feared. Something to be embraced. Something that is just normal that way. Because no cell can exist by itself. No. It's impossible. Any cells that refuse to mingle, it's a cancer cell. It's your own cell from your own body, but renegade cell. Am I right? A cell that does its own thing with its own mind, causing problem to the body itself. No, and I will tell you, this joining of cells in the way of two and three is the beginning of salvation from independence, from individualism, which are killers of the body life. Today, we have even still have saints who have been many years in the church life, but they exist like a drop of oil in water. They are impenetrable. They are unmingleable. They still live in seclusion. They are imprisoned in themselves. They cannot blend. So I promoted this weekend with the brothers to sing these songs, right? What number I forgot? Release My Spirit, you know that song? And then, Oh May My Spirit Flow. Okay, you go home and sing a lot of these songs. That's what it's talking about. We are not butterflies, we are bees. We don't flutter around by ourselves, we live in colonies. The life that we have received is a corporate life, not an individual life. We need companions. We need partners. We need a few other members on a regular basis to go on. Even you live in society, you need that. Forget about the spiritual realm. But that is just a reflection of the real thing. That is the spiritual realm. The church, the household of God, the kingdom of God. I tell you, you need. Okay, so I want to promote twos and threes. Right? Twos and threes. Right? Twos and threes. Now, today, I don't have the time. But I have a feeling because the next big conference is the 50 plus. Right? 50 plus. And I like to use that conference, the whole conference, to talk about twos and threes. Then you say, well, I thought we are the waste, you know. Those are old guys, you know. Why are you talking to them about? Well, they are just the injection point. So whatever I speak there, you have to listen. It's the same word to you, actually. It's just a venue, an occasion to speak something. Twos and threes. I want to run through the whole Bible of twos and threes with you to totally convince you that twos and threes is not something we dream up. It's not some kind of random number we're talking about. It is a God number. You know, even God is three. Yeah, really. It starts there. In Genesis 1, let us. Right there is three. Even God is three. And you don't need to be three. You're better than God. The one God is essential, but God is three is economical. So when we talk about the Lord's move, when we talk about God's operation, just one person can do it. You need another one. You need a third one. Now you say twos and threes. How about four? Well, please, don't get so legal with me. All right? If you have four, I'm not going to condemn you. Cut off that one. You should be just three. But if you get to six, then I say that's a different thing. So it's better to go two and three, because in the Bible it's full of two and three. And for that, of course, I have done that before last year in one of my meetings with you, and that is I rely on what? On Matthew chapter 18. Thank you. And let me just read these verses to you. This is, listen, in chapter 16, it's the first unveiling by Christ himself of his church. Chapter 18 is his first mentioning of the practical church life on the earth, or what we call the local church life. Here, in three occasions, he mentioned twos and threes. Very, very significant. Why not four and five? I'd like to ask you. Why not five or six? Why not 10 or 12? Why two and three? Even though you've heard it, let me say it again, and I will read three verses to you. Number one, verse 16. But if he does not hear you, you know, this sinning brother who refused to listen, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And actually, I'm still not done with the one. It's not only in the living we need to take care of our that individual personal life with the Lord. I would tell you, even in our service, now there's twos and threes, there's small groups, there's districts and all this kind of stuff, but let me just tell you, even in our service, it's still depending on, ultimately, on one. So on Lord's Day morning, you prophesy. Who prophesy? Me. When I prophesy, you better sit down, right? Because it'll be confusion, one at a time. And I'll tell you, actually, even in terms of the gospel, in terms of shepherding people, a lot of that fine work is one-on-one. Not even two-on-one, but one-on-one. I'm making the point, not to make you individualistic, but it is important. Okay, now let us come back here. So here in verse 16, you have what? You have a case of shepherding and restoring a wayward believer, okay? A brother who had a problem, who sinned. And someone who needs help, who needs shepherding. It says, if you cannot convince him, persuade him of his ways, you find one or two more. One is okay, or two is okay, three max. And listen, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. This is an Old Testament word, two or three, to have confirmation, to have a solid witness. Just one person, no what? Corroboration, is that the word? But when you have two or three witnesses, it's verified, it's confirmed. So here, in our shepherding people, in our caring for people, and by extension, even in our contacting of new believers, it's the principle of two or three. Two or three helping to each other to take care of a case, of a need, of a person. Two or three. Started with one, but eventually it's two or three. Very important. Very important. Now, second place, he talked about binding on earth and binding in, loosing on earth, etc. Only 19. Again, truly I say to you that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. Two of you. Two. Not 200. Two of you. In harmony. What is he talking about? Asking. It refers to the previous verse, binding and loosing. Here, this asking is not asking for a new car, a new job, right? This asking is asking for a brother. Or in the case of John 15, asking for fruit. It's asking something for God's interest, not just your private interest. And it takes two of you. That two is not the church. It's a subset, a small subset of the church. Two. There is a kind of authority when there's two rather than one. That one person or one brother or sister, no matter how spiritual they are, how powerful they are, they just cannot access that authority. It belongs to at least two. Because when you have at least two, you have the body in play. You have the body in action. One cannot be the body. At least two, the body principles kicks in. Are you with me? Here's talking about binding and losing. It's very hard. I know in my experience, in my room, Lord, I bind this. Well, I prayed that way. But it's different from when two brothers together bind, you just feel the strength. You just feel the subduing power on the enemy. A lot of us are missing that kind of power, missing that kind of experience and enjoyment of the spiritual riches because we're sticking to ourselves. Being individualistic, okay? The third place, verse 20. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. So the first thing is care. Care for others, people. The second is prayer. Am I right? Binding and loosing. What is the third thing here? Share. Right. Share. Because it's two or three gather into my name, there am I in their midst. The significance here is the enjoyment of the Lord's presence with all his riches. That is reserved for two or three, not for one. Now, we have to touch the Lord. We can enjoy the Lord privately and all of that. That is most important. But there is something there that is reserved for two or three to enjoy together. That one person, no matter what, would not have that level of enjoyment. It's called midst. No one person can have a midst, right? It needs at least two person, then there's a midst here. You see, this is the midst, and Jesus plops in, you know. All the three of us, there's a midst right there. But just me, where's the midst? There's no midst. The Lord has no landing pad, you know, just with me standing here. The Lord says, where do I land? Nowhere. But with two, there's a place to land. And that's our midst. Do you see that? You have missed the midst by being a loner. You miss the Lord's presence by just being by yourself. So, I hope these three, and I have many, many other places. Wait till the conference comes. Two and three is God's principle for his people. It is, to me, the smallest unit of Christian community is two and three. Now, brothers and sisters, I'd like you to pray about this. And if you're not in that practice, I think the 100 days prayer, we have a little bit of that. We, in fact, encourage you to find one or two to pray together, and then after 100 days, we disband. That's not... Oh, we did not.
Me and a group of three are still going. First of all, we violated a little bit.
No, you didn't violate. You didn't violate. Okay? You didn't violate. Right? All right. Okay. Now I want to give you some practical words concerning how to practice this two and three out of certain questions, you know, certain experiences and so on. Okay. According to Brother Lee's fellowship with us, these twos and threes is not arranged by the elders or anybody. So don't go to the elders, please assign my partners. Well, this is not the FTTA, okay? There you have no choice. You're stuck with so-and-so, okay? But here in the church life, we do not organize. The elders hands off on this matter. Let the saints be free. Let the saints. Now, sometimes the saints, some saints may not know enough people. They want some fellowship. That's okay. But by and large, this should not be arranged by the church. It should be by the saints' initiative and organic feeling to find one or two to be your companions. I like to use this word, companions. In other words, I like to see the church life companionized. This is not the small group. This is not Friday night. We'll talk about that later on. This is simply two and three. This two and three, the beauty of it is that by virtue of its size, right, it can be intimate. It can be mutual. it can be fine, it can be flexible, and it can be mobile. Once you have six people, there's already logistic problems, you know. You know what I mean? Even I do my Skype, whenever you add another person, the quality degrades, you know. So two and three, that's good. Okay, now, in finding these so-called companions, it's very simple. Don't overcomplicate it. In fact, a lot of these are already around you. By virtue of your normal life in the church, the people that associate with you, the people that live by you, the people that work with you, it's already there. Okay? But I'm going to say more. Right. So, if you don't have companions yet, I would say you just go and pray. You just go and pray, okay? And then you just look to the Lord, have some feeling, have some fellowship. I believe you know what I'm talking about. You will find a companion or two. Now, let me say something here just before I get into how, and that is, what is these two or three for? But I mentioned already in principle, one is to enjoy Christ together. Two, to pray together. Number three, to care for people together. That's it. That's the beauty, the usefulness, the function of this two and three. Okay. Now, and then the best thing is, of course, these two and three are in the same church. But even I would not be so legal to say it must be in the same church. Let's say you have a sister that is cross town. No problem. But it's more practical to be in the same locality because for functional purposes, for working things out purposes, it's better. Can you have a companion in India? Praise the Lord if you have one. But it is not as practical, right? But it's okay. And here, by the way, let me say something. You can have more than one, two and three with you. Don't just limit to one. I can have twos and threes. One is with these two brothers. And I have time. I have another brother with me at work, then I have, you know what I mean? Then my wife. By the way, you and your wife or husband, whatever, can absolutely be one of the twos and threes. It doesn't have to be same sex, you know? You know what I mean? Just brothers with brothers. In terms of the opposite sex, I tell you, actually, husband and wife is one of the best twos and threes. You know, one of the most prominent twos and threes is called Prisca and Aquila. That's a two and three. Totally functioning, praying, caring for people. I believe so. Do you agree with me? So don't say, I must not be with my spouse. That's wrong. I must be with a spouse. That's also wrong. I think it's normal. You know, today so many of the prayer is husband and wife. So many caring for new ones is done by husband and wife because they're together. They're the same household. They can open the house. They can open the refrigerator. They can do all kinds of things to care for others. And they can enjoy the Lord together. So that's good. So I don't want to limit anything. In fact, I want to have this a vast array of various kinds of twos and threes organically formed. But one thing, please watch out, don't let this become cliquish. If you're not careful, a small thing like this would become a clique. Do you understand a clique? Huh? You don't know what a click is? What is a click? Let me check my dictionary here. All right, what is a click? How do you spell the click? C-L-I-Q-U-E, right? Yeah, I got it. Okay, good, I like this. That's exactly why we don't need them. A small group of people who spend time together and who are not friendly to other people. That means it starts to be a club, an exclusive club. And we used to have sisters who have these cliques many years ago and brought in huge problems in the churches. A few spiritual sisters, so-called, they became cliquish and they exude cliquish attitudes. A little tiny exclusive circle, bad. That's cancer. So don't get cliquish. Don't get cliquish, all right? Don't become exclusive. Don't write up some secret, codes, you know? Or if you join our group, you have to sign with your blood, you know? Or whatever it is. Please, saints, okay? Get away from all of that stuff. All of that stuff. All right. I think actually it's very normal for a saint to have more than one. Very normal. Now, what do? I said already, they exist for the purpose of ultimately to reach out to contact people, to bear fruit, to gain people, to shepherd people for the increase of the church. But they also come together to pray and to what? And to enjoy the Lord. He has 7 points. What are your 7 points of what a small companion group or that I don't even want to use the word group. Just these companions, twos and threes, can do.
I don't know if I can remember them all. Let's first start with the morning revival.
Yeah. Twos and threes can have morning revival. You may have certain days having morning revival yourself, but maybe a couple of days in the week, you have morning revival with another saint. That's very good. You strengthen each other. You may even have a morning revival with a newer one. You say, is that a vital companion? Yes. Well, he's so young, he's so new. So what? Suddenly, this is a very broad definition of companions. Am I right? Go on.
One word. The second one is to pray with your companion for one another, for the personal situation, for the family, for the children, for the wife, for the husband. That's on a personal level.
Yeah.
And then the third is to pray with your companion the 100-day prayer, just to continue with that kind of burden. Pray for the Lord's interest. Pray for the Lord's move. Pray for the churches. Pray for the working saints. And then the fourth is to pray for your personal Jerusalem, which is a continuation of that. That means your relatives, friends, and neighbors, colleagues, relatives. And then to study the truth together, to study the life study together, or to read a book together. And then another one is to visit some new ones, not just to pray for them, but to visit them. And then finally is to have some Bible study or read some words with these new ones.
That means really to care for people, shepherd people. So the point is not that you need to do all these things. The point is there's a whole range of activities, spiritual activities that can be done and two by these twos and threes. But I hope you will, I'm just speaking these things, I hope you will consider them, you will practice them, and in the practice, you'll find out what works, what doesn't work, or what works with you may not work for me. So there's no legality here. There's much flexibility. But I would like to say that don't change partners every day. then that doesn't work. Okay? Now, but neither does it mean you are companions until you die. That may not work either, right? So I would say this is a living thing. But presently, you should have definite companions to pursue the Lord with, to pray, to study the truth, any one of these things, and especially eventually to seek increase in contacting people, even knocking on doors, even distributing BFA, visiting people, inviting people, Starbucks appointment, and all manners of things. But the main thing is it's carried out by these two and three. Morning revival can be done on Skype. You don't need to go to another person's house. Your contact with each other need not be for an hour each time. It could be what? 10 minutes. You know, I know some brothers, three brothers agree, every day at a certain hour, bong, you know, and they all got on the Skype. And for 5 minutes, they have prevailing prayer. They're all in their workplace, but every several times a week, they just do that. That is one way. That is one way. Eventually, they will start praying for this new one or that new one mutually, and they will start going to contact them together. A lot of good things will come out of that. And of course, meanwhile, what is going on is these few companions are being blended together or built up together into a working unit, a functional unit for the Lord's interest in that church. I would even say that you don't need to, well, first we pray. Then 3 months later, we start to do this. Then, no, you don't need to do that. You can do anything right away. But the important thing is that what? Is that you would, I would say, start with prayer. The 100 days is good for that. It start with prayer. So you come together, not to gossip, not to just socialize, but you really come to pray together. In some cases, brothers, you have a brother in your same work building. You don't even hardly know each other that well. Just because you're not familiar with each other should not deter you from being companions. It's the Lord's placement. So you two of you together may begin to pray for your building block, you know, for your building, for the people working there, to eventually reach out to them with the gospel. All right, so I'm leaving about 22 minutes here for your questions. There should be a lot of questions on this practice. Well, let me ask, are you practicing this now already? Huh? Those of you who are practicing this now, please raise your hands. Don't worry whether it's successful or not. You're just practicing these things. All right, and that's not bad. It's not bad. About half. And there are others who are not here. And let me tell you, another thing you can consider doing is to even start a group with a weaker one. With a weaker one. And it's actually, you are, by doing this, you're already reaching out. You're already shepherding. You are bringing this person into a prayer life, into a companion life, and so on and so forth. Right? All these are possible. And these things can happen not at 7:30 at night, any time of the day, in any place. Where you meet is not important. Whether there's a midst, that's the most important. Now, I have not finished the... Here. Oops. Is there something here? There's nothing here. Okay, I'll just do it. All right. Okay, so just to complete the picture, the first level is the member. And that is one, right? I talk about that. The second level is twos and threes. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Companions. Okay. Twos and threes. There's a third level, we're not going to get into it for a while, and that is groups. This is 6 to 12. And finally, we will talk about districts. This is anywhere from, I would say, 25 people to 75 people, just for the sake of having a number down. This is what I call the basic structure of the church life from a functional and also from a functional standpoint. Today I'm emphasizing this, and I'm particularly emphasizing this, and we'll take our time to get there. We'll see how the Lord leads. So, working saints, that's your job, that's your assignment in your respective churches to earnestly practice this. Now, some of you may say, Minoru, you're speaking all this. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about vital groups. There's a reason why I don't use that term vital group, because it means different thing to different people. So I deliberately would not use that word, and I would ask you not to use that word. Oh, we're going to do the vital group. Don't use that word. Use we're having companions, or twos and threes in our new practice of the church life until this becomes prevailing, this becomes common. This is everywhere. Now, there are a lot of things we will talk about, a lot of different kind of trainings, on many, many different things. Don't worry about it. Today, just think about this. Any fellowship, brothers?
I think one difficulty is that some saints don't know how to find their companions.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. I think that it's almost that those of us who are more active, with some experience, with some more burden, we need to initiate the forming of these groups, even with these ones. Those who don't know how, we just initiate to have a companion group with them. Because if you tell them, well, you can go there and find, they still don't know how. Or there may be some who are new here, they don't know the people in your church. That there are a lot of things like that, right? Or some, they're very timid or very, you know what I mean, have a difficult time. So some of these things we may need to help. Now, obviously, we're not talking about the whole church, everyone is doing this. No, don't have that kind of a expectation. If the working saints can practice this, and through them, more can practice. And even if half the church can be practicing this thing, this would be very, very good. At least a very good start. Well, the couples, you already have one already, right? As couples? Yeah. Yeah.
Another difficulty is that even the couples, or two or three, they are not flexible with their time. One said, I'm not available in the morning. Another said, I'm not available at night. So, and another one that I'm only available at 10 a.m. in the morning. So, we need to learn to be more flexible.
Yeah. I don't like to see this turn into a small group. You know what I mean? Every Friday night, we come together and look at each other, going through some motions. That defeats this. This, by nature, different from this, this actually should be flexible too, but this is even more flexible in where you come together, how you come together, how long do you come together, what do you do. It's a daily thing. It's not once a week I'll see you. The two and three come together once a week in a very formal way. The beauty of this thing is it can happen. You know, you have a chat, what do you call it? WeChat, whatever it is, with a, but not for the purpose of gossips, social lies, and how's your baby, how's my baby. No, it is with a spiritual purpose. With a spiritual purpose and with a spiritual condition, yet with a lot of human realities. We don't gather to preach at each other, right? We gather together, again, to enjoy Christ in the Word. Let's say I may have a companion with him to study the truth, to read the life studies twice a week. That is a good place. And I believe over time that study will lead to something, right? Lead to some burden because we are built up together. The Lord can use this two and three to carry out a lot of things. The college students should have this, very much. College age saints should have this. They need young people, they need companions. But young people are the most individualistic, you know. Independent. What else?
Is it at all useful to distinguish between a one-on-one appointment, you're shepherding someone, is that a member level versus...
See, this kind of thing, even Brother Lee has no answer. Sometimes the danger of doing this kind of thing is right away we are all people that likes perfect pictures. You know, perfectly structured, when actually you cannot. We have to allow for so many different variations of these things. So when the one end and the two or three comes in and who does this, well, it's all there. For example, when the three of us are we're a companions, right? And then there's a new one that we contacted. And that new one is actually live close to me. And in fact, I'm the one who initially contacted this new one, this unsaved or whatever. Then it is absolutely normal for me to do the heavy lifting, meaning I would be normally caring for this new one more than these two. Isn't that right? Even I'm become the father, the parent to this new one. But yet I have companions who pray for me.
Right. Amen.
So now I'm not alone. And the day will come, I will bring him to have coffee with us together as his first touch with the body life. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So where does the one end, where does one begin? It all happened at the same time in the same place almost. You need both. You know, human being, even in society, you need companions, right? Don't you have some friends, you know, or colleagues at work that you're closer to? The human being is made that way, that needs, we don't have friends, but you know what? We don't have friends, but the Lord says, you are my friends, you know? You know, in John 15, he say, you are not my, he say, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Well, we are the Lord's friends. Are we friends of each other? Well, I would like to say this. Here's my answer. In the church life, strictly speaking, we do not have friendship or friends. We just have brothers and sisters. Because once you get into a friendship relationship, there's a danger of the natural affection. Are you following me? Having said that, if in the church life you do not have a few closer brothers and sisters closer to you that you can fellowship with, that you can commensurate with, that you can support one another with. And that's something I did not study today with you, that is in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes, about the twos and threes. When one fall, the other will lift him up. You know, the threefold cord cannot be easily broken. Twos and threes. So I tell you, God made us to need these closer companions. But I hesitate to use the word friend because it has a certain kind of connotation. That may be natural, you know what I mean? So usually we use the word spiritual companions in the church life. Do you have any spiritual companions? We all need spiritual companions, no matter how strong you are. Some that you can open your heart to in the Lord, some that you can help each other in. We all need that. We all need that. And even at work, right? You go to work, don't they have these little work teams? Huh? You're a team of whatever, right? Two or three, and then you go do this project or whatever. There is a power in a team, in a whatever you call it. Maybe we should call team, huh? Teamwork. That's not bad, team. How about team? Okay, what else? Someone has a question? Someone asks, oh, they said, please repeat the question. They cannot hear me. No question, right? No question, brothers and sisters. All right. What should we do between now and next month?
Pray, find, seek, practice.
Amen.
And then have case studies to talk to you when you grow us.
Okay. Yes, I agree. In practice, the main thing is with prayer, is to be with the Lord and to be flexible. And you need some wisdom also. Okay. Yet, at the same time, I would say practice in a determined manner in a steadfast manner, continuing steadfastly, and with a learning spirit, right? This is both for our survival and growth and building. And this is definitely for what? For outreach and increase and growth of the body. Yeah. Okay, looks like there's no question. We have some prayer.
Amen.
It's okay. Have some prayer. Amen.
Amen.
How about twos and threes pray, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Get into this practice.
Amen.
For your sake.
Amen.
And also for the glory.
Amen.
For your increase and strength.
Amen.
Lord, make this happen.
Amen.
Determination.
Amen.
Resolve it.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we do pray for your hand.
Amen.
To follow this even up. Practice. I have to say something. Okay, saints. We have 5 more minutes according to my watch, so let me fill in something just came to me as we prayed here, and that is the help we received from Brother Lee in doing this. And that is, even according to John 15, about the branches, it says what? Life, this is in the footnotes, life is the source, the divine life. Loving one another is the condition, and fruit bearing is the goal. I want you to hold those 3 things very, very clearly when we talk about the team or the companions. That the source of your blending or teaming or companionizing together in this way, the source must be of life. It has to have the right source, something spiritual. And not fleshly or social and all that kind of stuff. Number 2, the condition, the right condition of such a unit or getting together must be mutual love, mutual care, and there's a lot of even mutual shepherding that can take place, brother to brother. You know, I need David's shepherding of me. And he doesn't know how many times he said certain things really shepherded me. I didn't even tell him that. But I'm saying, Brother Lee said, you know what Brother Lee said? He said, there was a brother who came and changed my light bulb. Brother Lee cannot change light bulbs. He can write beautiful outlines, but he cannot change a light bulb. So a brother came and changed a light bulb for him. And he said, you don't know how much that brother shepherded me. Brother Lee needs a shepherding from a brother like that. So, saints, I'm saying that we need one another.
Amen.
And this 2 and 3 is a way to ensure that we have, that those needs are met in a very sanctified way. So mutual love and care and concern, genuine care. Sister, how are you doing, brother? Before we get into read the life study, How are you doing? Yeah. See, this is real care. See, this cannot take place in a big meeting like this. This is no way. Even in a small group in the home, you cannot do this. But in a daily, on the phone, you know, you can carry out the real fine level of care member to member, member to member, caring for each other, really. And then finally, the goal. Please remember the goal of these things is not just to build up a group so to tell people I have a team. No, the goal is unique, that is to bear fruit.
Amen.
In other words, your two or three is for the purpose of bearing fruit, which is the overarching burden in Northern California now, to double the number in 10 years. The church in San Jose, 200 people. That includes Salinas and various nearby places, something like that, every Lord's Day. That means next year, this time, the church in San Jose would have a 15% increase, and that would be, they would have 30 new ones in the Lord's Day. The new ones can be what? Recovered ones, backslidden ones. These new ones can be some that come up from the ranks of our children that now have become brothers and sisters being baptized, and now they're in junior high. We count that. And these ones could be someone who from the campus, you know, and so on and so forth. But all that, to in order to gain 30 people between the 200 people, you need to contact more than 30 people. Am I right? To gain the 30. And this is very possible if we have many, many little groups functioning, alive, vital, contacting people, reaching out people, shepherding people in these small units. And that is what we would like to see. Okay? I think that should be quite a balanced word here. Okay? All right, saints, let us maybe stop here and we will come back together a month from now.
Amen.